Thanks for downloading a 3CR podcast. 3CR is an independent community radio station based in Melbourne, Australia. We need your financial support to keep going. Go to www.3cr.org.au for more information and to donate online. Now stay tuned for your 3CR podcast.
Welcome to Local Food Connections. It's Permaculture Week, but we've had to postpone our interview with permaculture teacher and practitioner Peter Allen. So instead today we're going to repeat the first ever episode of Local Food Connections, because it is with Angelo Eliades, who built a thriving permaculture garden in Thornbury, and is, by his clear communication of what he's learned by experimentation and also by research, he really is a permaculture teacher in his own right. So I hope you enjoy listening to Angelo describe his experience.
You are what you eat, and you are what you eat, and you're even what you eat. Here's a clue, why don't you take a peek beneath your feet?
Welcome to the first ever episode of Local Food Connections, a show about the power of locally grown food to connect us more strongly with our communities and the lands we inhabit. Over the coming weeks, we'll bring you interviews with food producers, backyard growers, and other urban farmers, as well as information about food justice, food swaps, community gardens, farmers markets, food rescue, and sustainability events in the Melbourne region. At Local Food Connections, we acknowledge that we live, work and eat from the stolen lands of the Kulin Nation, and we pay respects to elders past and present. We'd also like to thank Formidable Vegetable for their song, You Are What You Eat, that introduced the show. Today, we are privileged to hear from Angelo Eliades. Angelo is a presenter, trainer and writer in the areas of sustainable gardening and permaculture. Angelo's permaculture food forest in his backyard at Thornbury won a Darabin Sustainability Award and has been open to the public by Open Gardens Australia. His work has been featured in the documentary film Fair Food, in the DVD Urban Permaculture by leading permaculture designer Jeff Lawton, and in the book Fair Food, Stories from a Movement Changing the World, published by Queensland University Press. Currently, Angelo writes for Good Organic Gardening Australia magazine, and he really is a leader in this field and runs a really excellent internationally recognised website called Deep Green Permaculture, which you can Google, and we'll give you the details of that later. It's great to have you on the show, Angelo. Welcome.
Thank you, Anne. It's a pleasure to be here.
Let's just lift your mic up a little bit. That's up to your mouth, up this way. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Here we go.
Okay, so this book that you've shared some writing in, Stories from a Movement Changing the World, what is that movement, Angela?
Okay, it was a rather interesting movement that I was introduced to. Apparently a lot of individuals are doing a lot of amazing work trying to move the world forward in terms of sustainability, in terms of food production. And what I didn't realise is that I was recognised as an urban agriculture pioneer due to my work that I had done, and I was just sharing freely with the world. So there's many surprises when you just get out there and start doing projects on your own, trying to just change the world in your own little way.
Yeah. So this is not a movement the movement towards local food production, I suppose it is, and sustainable food growing. It's not a movement with a leader, but it's just a movement with lots and lots of energy flowing into it.
Yes, very much. It's the energy and passion to actually do things better, do things more sustainably, more responsibly towards the planet. Mm-hmm. And there's everything from people doing agricultural food production that's more sustainable. There's other people that are growing livestock in more sustainable ways and more ethical ways. Then there was me doing my work in urban agriculture, trying to get as much as food production as I can, working with nature in an inner city urban environment.
Okay, now I want to hear about that. I want to hear about that garden. I want to hear how big it is. What kind of soil is there, how you're managing your water and everything, and what you've managed to achieve there.
Not a problem. Well, I wasn't even aware that, I discovered permaculture and studied it in about 2009, and I wasn't even aware that my work would actually really get out there. So I was documenting my work, and I just put it up on a website, and little did I realise I was contacted by a gentleman by the name of Dr. Nick Rose, who does some really amazing work, and he told me that he recognised that my work was quite pioneering in terms of the yields that I was getting, and asked me to basically co-author the book and also be on the documentary. And what was my work? Well, what I actually did is, after studying permaculture and hearing about food forests, which are essentially a system that works like an ecological temperate forest, but is using species that we choose which are beneficial to us. My teacher, Jeff Lawton, explained how you can build a system that works exactly like nature does, and it's very, very sustainable, and you don't really have to do much with it. And being an organic gardener at the time, I thought, well, this sounds great. I've got to really give this a go. And I remember looking everywhere trying to find information on food forests, and there wasn't much, and there was lots of just debates about whether it works in big spaces only or in small spaces only, or whether it does or doesn't work. And I thought, oh, this is just nonsense. And because I've got a biomedical science background, I'm very methodical and systematic in my approach. And I remember my teacher, Bill Mollison, was always saying that if you want to actually do something, don't wait for big organizations to do it. You have to go out and do it yourself. So I decided, hey, these guys know what they're doing, so I'm going to build a food forest. I was stumped about how to build a food forest in a backyard because there's no one that documented it, not on that small scale.
Tell me the size of the backyard.
Oh, well, the backyard's about 150 square meters, but there's only 80 square meters of garden. And once I put the paths in, there was only 63 square meters of garden beds. And I thought, there's got to be a way to scale down a food forest to fit it into such a small backyard. And what I discovered was a system called backyard orchard culture that came out of California. And the gentleman there who works in one of the nurseries there came up with a system where you can, instead of the space where you could fit one large tree, you can put three trees that are pruned down to size that don't even have to be on dwarf rootstock. And so if you do an early, mid and late season tree example for, an apple, you get production far longer than you get from one tree, whether you would just get a glut of one crop. So I thought, hey, if I use the food backyard orchard system to scale down a lot of trees in a small area, I can squeeze 30-plus trees into 60 square metres, which I did. And then I planted all the understories, then planted all the vines and berries and things like that. So ended up with about 30-odd trees, not including the ones in pots, mind you. I also had about 11 kinds of berries then, but they ended up multiplying out to 22 types of berries, not individual berries. And I had about started with about 90, ended up with about 60 different medicinal herbs. And, of course, I had all my annual veggies. And what I didn't realise, and this is what caught Dr. Nick Rose's attention, was that I was getting the equivalent of about 13.8 tonnes per acre of production when my only two-thirds of my trees were actually producing, and this was only in the first 4 years. What was unique is that I documented everything that I did and actually put real yield measurements there. So I had I was managing even without trying properly, and embarrassingly, I was writing the Permaculture Victoria gardening calendar, but I wasn't really sticking to it too well. And I was managing to get about 60 to 70 kilos of veggies a year. That's without even trying. And I think by the fourth year, I was getting about 11 kilograms of berries, which is worth a couple hundred dollars. And I was getting, somewhere about 160 odd kilos of fruit.
Has that persisted as the gardens become more mature?
Yes. Well, the veggies, because they're all annuals, I've got a lot of perennial veggies in there too, but that's has persisted, but what's happened is that the productivity has ramped up because I've actually squeezed even more in. But it was quite a task to measure everything that you harvest for 4 years. Mind you, I was undercounting because people would come in and eat things and bits and pieces. So, and I didn't count all the herbs that I was harvesting either. So it's a conservative undercount, but apparently that's quite a significant figure and it exceeds a lot of farms. And I wasn't stacking the yield figures by planting lots of root crops, which is a good way to get...
Weight,
yeah. I actually only had about 1.5 square metres of potato patch at the time.
Wow. Now, that doesn't mean that anyone can just do that, right? So you've got to have the right orientation, okay, and you've got to have the right soil and everything. So just talk about where your garden is in relation to everything else.
Yeah, well, with permaculture design, you basically have to read the land and you have to work with nature and the elements around you. Ecology is all about the relationship of living things to each other and to the things around them, structures and everything else. So I have a north-facing garden. It's terraced, so it's raised up, so it drains really well. I have, what you call a very rich silty loam, and there's about 45 centimetres of soil over solid clay. I did about a year of soil building to actually get it to the state it was. It looked like grey sand when I started, and it was totally infertile, and now it's rich, rich black soil. The block is very, how could I say, it's because it's very compact. There's concrete and brick walls facing the sun. So the whole thing heats up, so it's essentially a real hot box. It really bakes in summer. The good thing is, using the ecological design process, it's very water efficient. I remember when we had the stage 3 water restrictions, I was running the whole thing on 2 45-minute waterings a week. It runs 6 months purely on rainwater and 6 months rainwater plus 2 45-minute waterings a week, unless we have a 40-degree heat wave, which I obviously have to supplement that. Yeah.
Have you got any animals in the system?
Well, technically not really, just my little earthworms. I've got 3 worm farms. I really wanted chickens. I've been offered bees. I would love to bring them in, but right now it's just worms and lots of... I suppose all the life is actually in the system, because I remember my teacher, Jeff Lawton, was saying, you build it, then nature will rearrange it, and then all the life will come in. And essentially, that's exactly what's happened. We have so much different birds coming in. I've set up cameras, especially like ones that wildlife cameras that trigger remotely, and I've just seen all the native birds that come in. And we're like not 9 km north of the city. We're very inner city. And just all the fruit and the berries have attracted both native birds, things like wattle birds, and we're getting lots of other little odds and ends. But the good thing is, all these other little birds that are coming in, they're cleaning up all the pests as well. They're implementing a natural pest control system. So it's all working by itself, which is really great.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
And we're going to take a little break, Angelo. This is a Local Food Connection show on 3CR 855 kilohertz on your AM radio dial and 3CR on digital radio. You can also visit the 3CR website and listen to the live streaming of the show, if that's not what you're doing already. From next week, you'll be able to find podcasts of the show on your preferred podcast platform or by Googling 3CR Local Food Connections and checking out the website.
3CR is one of a kind. We have 400 volunteers and cover an incredible array of programming content.
From special broadcast events on Invasion Day or Trans Day of Visibility to any of our 120 weekly shows, 3CR has got your radical radio listening covered.
Subscribe to 3CR at 3cr.org.au and support independent, community-owned media, free of commercial influence and government bias.
Help to keep 3CR unique by becoming a subscriber today.
Got a big crop of tomatoes or plums in the garden this summer? Look after our precious wildlife and avoid using netting over your veggies and fruit trees. Nets can accidentally trap flying foxes, possums, and birds. Many of them don't survive their injuries. If you must use netting, make it safe for wildlife. For more information, go to wildlifevictoria.org.au or call 03 8400 7300 if you see wildlife trapped in netting. Wildlife Victoria is a 3CR supporter.
Today on Local Food Connections, I'm chatting with Angelo Eliades about sustainable gardening and permaculture. Angelo, what work are you doing now? And you're always into something.
Yes, I'm spread out quite thin. I do run my big website, deepgreenpermaculture.com, so that keeps me busy. There's usually an article there a week. I also write for Good Organic Gardening Australia magazine. I'm their backyard permaculture writer. For people who don't know what permaculture is, it's ecological garden design. It's about working with nature. And why do we work with nature? The whole point is that plants have evolved over 460-odd million years, so they are pretty capable of looking after themselves. So all we do is we figure out what plants need and we work with them. So we push in the same direction as nature. We work towards the same goals. That's very efficient. And what I teach, what I do is I, other than doing garden consultancy, I teach people how to garden from first principles, not only understanding what to do, but why they're doing it. Teaching it as a big system, because when you understand nature as a system, which is what it is, it's actually an ecosystem. Once you understand how the system works, it's easy to integrate with it, work in harmony with it, and be able to achieve amazing results. And what I tend to do with my work is try to also show people how healing nature is itself, because I'm doing some work in mental health support as well. I'm working to bring those two together, because most people, until they get really old and join a gardening club and take up gardening, don't realize how relaxing and de-stressing gardening is. And it's that concept of biophilia, where we're reconnecting with nature, because that's our what we naturally connect with, and we find harmony through that. So I'm doing lots of teaching, I'm doing lots of writing, and I'm also trying to bring more people into gardening for their mental health and for their well-being.
Mm-hmm. Tell us about the three ethics of permaculture and how you see them connected to each other.
Yeah, well, the amazing thing about permaculture, it's an applied science, but it's underpinned by three ethical principles, and those three are care for the planet, which is self-explanatory. There's the concept of care for the people, which is an interesting concept, because we, being social creatures, need community, and we function better with community and in connection with each other. So that's a really important process. So when we engage in activities that foster community, like gardening together, for example, it really helps people not only in learning new skills, in improving their self-esteem, it actually feeds their psychological health. The third concept of permaculture, the third ethical principle, is the fair share principle. And that's all about using your fair share of resources only so there's enough for other people, and also sharing the surplus. And that doesn't just mean putting out a little donation box of your spare garden produce or sharing with your friends. It also means sharing your knowledge and your experience, which then also builds community. So it's an amazing system. Those three ethical principles, they're pretty well compatible with any worldview that's life-affirming and respects the planet. So it really doesn't matter what your background is. It works with everyone. It's the lowest common denominator set of principles, and you can add to that to strengthen that if you need to.
I've spoken to two people who do a lot of work in this field, and both describe a moment with one plant that they planted before they were even interested in gardening in a big way, and the transformation that came about when they saw that plant actually growing. So can you talk a little bit more about how that affects a person's self-esteem? That's an interesting connection, isn't it?
Yeah, very much. I had a similar experience. I remember in grade one in primary school, where I was going to Richmond, teacher brought in some catnip plants, and she must have grown them from cuttings. And what we did is we measured them, and we learnt about watering them, watching them grow, and then we took them home, and I took it home and planted it in the garden. And it was just interesting to actually nurture this other living thing and understand its whole life process, understand it was living and the cycles that it goes through. And when you actually grow through the seasons, you understand the cycles of life. And that was a very long time ago. I still have the children of that plant in my garden now, and that's many decades later. Just that little experience just started that whole process. And mind you, I did sort of stray from gardening and rediscover it. I think the very process of looking after another living thing, being concerned and engaged in its welfare, and making the time and effort to nurture and sustain it, it really does, how would I say, it pretty well activates our emotional circuits. We are all hardwired to care for other living things, hence why we have pets or kids or whatever it might be, but plants are also living and it initiates the same process.
Mm, that's great. I'm just thinking, with your little progeny that these are the leaf plants that you yes. that you love and nurture, how do you protect them in a sustainable way from, say, from weed and pests?
One thing I've realised, once you garden ecologically, nature abhors empty space. And the whole idea of having bare soil is a really weird concept because it doesn't exist in nature. The way nature avoids weeds is because weeds are pioneer plants. Their job is to stabilize damaged bare soil. So if you plant something else in there and then you mulch it up the same way that nature mulches soil and builds soil, there is no light and there's no water and there's no space for weeds to grow. So I don't have any problems with weeds. With pests, it's rather interesting because if you think that nature's been on the, plants have been growing for hundreds of millions of years, if pests and weeds were a problem and nature couldn't take care of them on its own, what would happen is the weeds would have overrun everything, the pests would have eaten all the weeds and there'd be no life left on the planet. We would have had total ecosystem collapse. So when you create a balanced ecosystem that resembles nature, you leverage all the existing processes that have evolved over hundreds of millions of years, and nature takes care of itself to a greater extent, other than snails and slugs, which I just chop the tops of plastic soft drink bottles off and take the lid off and use them like a cloche over the plants, when they're young seedlings, that is, to protect them. Everything else is taken care of by nature. I have so much. I have parasitic wasps, which are beneficial wasps that hunt down lots of pests and basically lay their eggs inside them and they consume them that way. They have lots of spiders, praying mantises, ladybirds, lacewings, hoverflies. When you put all the plants you basically need insectary plants, which give the insects a home, permanent plants, perennial ones that are there year after year, and you put nectary plants, alternative food sources, because a lot of the good bugs like ladybirds, lacewings, hoverflies have short mouth parts and they can only consume the nectar from shallow flowers. So when they run out of pests to eat, they can feed off those. So when you create a habitat that is supportive of all the beneficial insects and also brings in native birds as well, they will clean up a lot of the pests. So I pretty well, it takes about a year to establish it, and you will watch your plants being eaten. And you have to persist, have faith in nature, but nature will reward you for your patience and faith.
Okay. Yeah. And in the meantime, there'll be articles about that on your website, right?
Yes, there's a fair bit of free information on my website on all of that.
Yes, if you want to get started. What advice would you give to someone right now that's just got a patch of land, would like to start? How do they start?
Okay, being a gardening teacher, one thing I've discovered, the best way to learn gardening is to start small and to set expectations. The expectations not to have killer yields the first year. The focus should be on learning. Make it enjoyable. Learn as much as you can and just experiment. Feel free to make mistakes. Don't be so worried that you're going to get it wrong. And through just discovery, trial and error, rechecking things, retrying things, and start with a small bed that you can manage. Don't try to convert a whole big backyard all at once. It'll just become too much. Start with maybe one or two garden beds. Once you've got those under control and you've got a working formula, you just replicate that and then you extend out and you just add more and more garden beds until you run out of space or you run out of time. And that's the way I did it.
And what are good starter plants for people to start off with?
I think I'm a bit biased because I love my herbs, but herbs are super tough. They're the equivalent of succulents for indoor plant enthusiasts. Mm-hmm. Yeah. they are very, very resilient. So I would start with all your culinary herbs and then also a few veggies. And some veggies are a lot easier than others. I think your leafy greens like spinach and lettuce, silver beet work really easily. Tomatoes aren't too bad. Carrots can sort of work. If you like your onion family, ideally start with seedlings, not seeds, because mm-hmm. it takes some skill to sow seeds and raise seedlings. And it's about a 6-week process. So if you just go buy some seedlings from a local sustainable organic nursery, you'll find that those plants are already advanced enough and you can grow them on a little bit or just plant them into your garden and they're going to be a lot tougher and it'll make the experience a lot more positive. And once you've mastered growing from seedlings, then you can try seeds.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Okay, so start small and start with high-value plants.
Yeah, high-value plants are usually really, really good. Yep. Yeah.
Okay. What else can we tell us a little bit more about that work you're doing with mental health?
Yeah, well, I had to do a community gardening series of workshops. We basically ran an 8-week course at the West Brunswick Community Garden. We're trying to get it up and running again, where we had two different morning and an afternoon session where we were trying to encourage people to reintegrate back with community because a lot of people were isolating themselves voluntarily and unnecessarily after the COVID lockdown. So they just became scared to reintegrate with community. And for a lot of people who had been impacted in terms of their mental health, it was really affecting them by remaining isolated. Because once they became much more isolated, they stayed that way. So what we would try to do is increase community interaction and foster an educational process that builds self-esteem through the vehicle of gardening. And that's the amazing thing about gardening itself. So what we did is we started from first principles, essentially what is a plant, how do plants work, and we worked through a gradual process of increasing skills, building up from the foundations, growing seedlings, then sowing seeds, and then going through all the way through to seed harvesting, seed gathering, seed collection. So we go through the whole cycle and we were growing all manner of crops. And what was amazing is that we started off with what was a weedy patch that was dug up and we did all the soil improvement processes as well. So we understood what soil was, how soil works, understanding that soil is a living ecosystem. It's alive and you have to keep it alive. And the fact that, you know, a tablespoon of healthy soil has about, 20 to 30 billion soil organisms or something like that, whereas the human population is only about 7-odd. And by keeping the soil alive, and as my permaculture teachers, Bill and Jeff, always used to tell me, the important thing is you feed the soil, not the plants. The living ecosystem that is the soil, called the soil food web, its job is to take anything that was once living and release the nutrients in a form slowly that plants can use. And what we did is we did that. We created a very fertile soil and everything took off. So it's an amazing process. You work with nature, you build the soil, and all the plants will just take off. And when people experience that, I think it really just shifts them because they're realizing the whole world around them is alive.
Wow. Wow. Thanks so much, Angelo. Well, that's all we've got time for.
Thank you.
It's a pleasure chatting with you. Thanks for coming in.
It's been great. Thank you.
My name is Anne Stanley and my guest was Angelo Eliadis. Thank you for joining us today. If you would like to learn more about Angelo's work, you can find him on Facebook, Instagram, and on his website, Deep Green Permaculture. That's deepgreenpermaculture.com.
That's correct.
Yep. If you would, so Deep Green, D-E-E-P, greenpermaculture.com. If you would like training in permaculture design, there are courses about to start. So there's one going to start in series at on the 5th of August in the evenings. There's another one at Ringwood starting July at the Central Ringwood Community Centre in Bedford Park. The Local Food Connection show is brought to you by Local Food Connect. Go to localfoodconnect.org.au for all the details of those events, and there's so many other events on that website. It's a fantastic website. Join me next Sunday morning for a conversation with Anna Matilda, also known as the Urban Nana, about food foraging and rental permaculture. Until next week, love the land you're on, share your surplus and take care of each other. Stay tuned now to 3CR for more radical radio with Latin American Update. We've been looking up, we've been messing around,
we've been freaking out. You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.